Great Destinations Radio Show with Kerry Jones.
Many visitors to the Middle East enjoy taking part in one of those desert experiences where you get to meet Bedouin, eat a traditional meal, spend a night out under the stars, and maybe ride on a camel. But if you're looking for something a bit more authentic, how about a 230-kilometre trek across Egypt's Sinai Desert without any of the trappings of modern-day life? That's the expedition being offered by specialist travel company Secret Compass. I spoke with organiser Dave Lucas about why this adventure is so unique.
It's a 250-kilometre trek where I take a group from the Gulf of Aqaba to the Gulf of Suez, trekking across the Sinai Desert in Egypt. And it's not just the sort of the activity that draws people, but the style in which we do the trip. It's very minimalist and very sort of in the eyes of what the Bedouin would do it in. And so that's the sort of the romantic side of the trip.
I asked Dave what he meant by a minimalist trip.
I wanted to achieve a trip where all the sort of luxuries and all the sort of the unnecessary bits of kit were stripped away. And we conducted this trip in a very traditional Bedouin manner, where you sort of forget about any sort of trappings of modern day life. So we have a kit list that people can sort of bring with them. And we suggest just one set of clothing. You can wash it as many times as you like if we pass any wells. But we say to people, you don't need a sleeping bag. You don't need a tent. The only luxuries you're allowed to bring, in fact, are sun cream, a pair of sunglasses and a camera. Instead of a sleeping bag, we buy people a fahwa, which is a Bedouin cloak. So imagine those sort of romantic pictures of Bedouin sat around a fire in the evening in a desert, and they're sort of wrapped up in those heavy sort of woolen cloaks. That's what people use as their sleeping bag. And instead of a carry mat, people have a sort of a camel blanket, which is a woven bit of fabric, which is used to put on top of the camels once they've been loaded to sit on top. And that's what people use as sort of a sleeping mattress. And there is no tent, so you're out in the open. So any sort of animals and insects that people are often sort of scared of, like snakes and scorpions, may crawl underneath your bed at night, but they rarely do so.
You'll also be eating in the same style as the local Bedouin, who'll be guiding you across the desert.
The food we eat is all organised, and all that food is grown, picked, dried ahead of time. We take dried goats with us, and I know the sort of shepherdess that looks after those goats. The fish that we take is dried ahead of time, and I know the people that fish that fish. The olive oil we take is pressed from olives from the tree where I know the tree is, and we take dried apricots, and I know where that tree is, and all the fruits and veg is grown by friends of mine.
And even though the Sinai is a desert, Dave says it's not all sand. The scenery is stunning, and it does change along the route.
As you walk through the Sinai, you start off by the coast. So obviously you have all the sort of the beautiful Red Sea waters and tropical waters with coral reefs. And as you walk up into the mountains, you cut through sort of granite to start with, and these sort of tall faces of rock around you, which sort of hide these narrow canyons. And then that sort of transfers into sandstone, again, very narrow canyons that at times are only shoulder width apart. And these open up into then big plains of sand. So not quite sand dunes of what people would expect from a desert, but big sandstone plains with sort of weirdly carved sandstone structures where the wind has sort of eaten away, leaving sort of holes and caves and bits of artwork freestanding in the desert. And then this sort of then breaks up into the highlands, the granite highlands, which go up to over 2,000 metres above sea level. And Mount Sinai, where supposedly Moses got the Ten Commandments, the highest mountain in Egypt, we cut through. And then from there, you sort of then wander back down to the other side of the Sinai Desert. And so you cut through these big wadis, and some of the wadis, in fact, if you can get rain still that time of year, can be flowing rivers as well. So it's a very strange side to a desert. You wouldn't expect to see these sort of green, lush valleys with rivers and plants.
I asked Dave who this sort of trip is most likely to appeal to.
It's a very self-selecting trip. So individuals book on board, and they are often people that want to get away from the electronic lifestyle. They want to get away from this constant setup of social media and communications, and their phone is always on them, computer screens. So you find they're wanting escape from modern day life. With the knowledge that we've collected over the years on the Sinai, we're able to put this package together, which is very enticing for those people, because they end up in a in a part of the world that they probably wouldn't be able to do by themselves.
Dave told me the actual walking is not the most demanding part of the trip.
Maybe the longest day is 30 kilometres and you have to carry some weight on your back. So obviously you need to be able to be fit enough to go walking in the hills. But what really gets you this trip after a while is that the desert doesn't let go of you. The desert sort of grabs you from day one and sort of just sits on you very gently. And there's no escape. There isn't a place where you can sort of, you can't go and have a shower. You can't get out of the dust or the smoke or the sand. You're lying in the sand. You're sort of walking in the sand. And so after 2 weeks of that and with the sun beating down on you and maybe colder nights, you find that the desert wears you down. And that's what people find surprising. And that's really the challenge of this trip, is surviving the desert, not necessarily having to be fit to survive the daily physical endurance of the walking.
Dave told me the nights are amazing.
There's no light pollution. And so the stars you actually have around you are phenomenal, phenomenal. And it's I don't think I've seen a better night sky than the one you get in the Sinai when there isn't the moon. It's pristine, it's beautiful. You sit around a fire until probably around 8 p.m. and you probably go to bed soon afterwards because you're getting up at 4 the next day. So you sort of shift your whole body clock and circadian rhythms shift onto desert time. So even though you're only 2 hours ahead of the UK, when you come out of the desert, it feels like you're jet lagged because you've actually been going to bed far earlier because you don't have the stimulation of lights sort of keeping you awake.
You can find out more about this unique desert trek at secretcompass.com.